What's that? You're sleeping. Usually people wait till during the message to sleep. I don't know what that's about. But today we're continuing in this series, Why? And we're doing it because people ask a lot of questions. Why isn't life fair? Why did my child get sick? Why did my friend go through so much? Why? Why do I have to go through so much? Last week we talked about why don't I always feel God, and I left my notes at home. Thankfully, it was one of those messages that I could do without notes. They're not all that way. And I did bring them today, but that was a reminder to me. God whispered, dude, you're getting some years on you. You got to pay attention to the details. Does God ever whisper that to you? Maybe he doesn't call you dude. I don't know. Never. Maybe he will, Wanda.
No, he says, hey, you stupid.
Oh, no. Hey, you, maybe. Hey, you. Next week, we're going to do my favorite one. Why would God love someone like me? Insecurities, mistakes, sin. You know, why would God love someone like me? And maybe you never asked that question, but if you don't, you're kind of different than most. But this morning, chances are, if you are like most Christians, you've asked the question, God, why didn't you answer my prayer? I prayed so seriously for this. Why did you not answer my prayer? There's people around here, you practically have calluses on your knees for all that you have been praying for the last few years. And I know we all ask the same question, why didn't you answer my prayers? Because I know you could. I know you could do something. I think you should have done something, but you didn't. So why didn't you answer my prayer? Especially in the light of scriptures like this. This is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, I'm going to look at verse 13. Well, verse 12. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And then he says, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And you hear a text like that, and you think, well, how come then? Because I did ask. I ask a lot of things. You've asked a lot of things. You know, you read stories from the Bible, and you know that God could. You read stories like from Joshua, and Joshua said, "May the sun not move." May it, you know, and the sun stayed in place. He prayed that it would stand still, and it did for a day. Daniel, he's in the lion's den. He prayed that the lions would go on a diet that day, and they did. You know, Jonah's out floating around in the sea, and he prayed for a rescue, and he got gulped up by a whale. What a cool thing. And then he became whale stuff on the beach, you know. But God came through, you know. Why did God answer those prayers and not mine? Early on in my Christian life, my grandfather, my mother's dad, got sick. He was 72, I think, at the time. Cancer, lung cancer. He worked in factories that were smoky all of his years of work. And he was a good guy, and we prayed so many times, God, please heal him. And then one day we heard the word that he was healed. They couldn't find the cancer, which seemed pretty awesome. And 6 weeks later, he died of a massive heart attack. I know that God healed him. But we ask a lot of questions, you know. I mean, sometimes they are serious questions. We pray for people's health. We pray for people who maybe wish to have a child and they can't conceive a child, so we pray that they would. We pray for our parents. Our parents are going through hard times, or our kids, our adult kids are going through hard times with their marriages or whatever. We pray for those things because we love those folks. We pray for someone's soul. I don't know how many a saint I have known who have prayed for their lost kids. And some of you are doing that now. And we think, God, why won't you answer that? Well, the answer is, maybe it's just not time. I don't know. But I also can tell you a story of many folks who have died and did not get to see that a year or two later their children turned to Christ. They didn't get to see it. They'll know it. They'll know it one day, won't they? You know? But we wonder about those things. So today I'm going to give you some biblical reasons, some biblical possibility as to why God doesn't answer all of our prayers. And as I've tried to say, I can give you some biblical things, but I probably can't answer your specific question. And these are things that you'll want to take up with God one day. Except that I really believe the second we get into heaven, we'll know all the answers and we won't even have to ask the question. Don't you think? At least that's kind of how I see it. So why didn't God answer prayers? Well, there's four reasons I see in Scripture. Maybe it's because you have a broken relationship. See, our horizontal relationships here on earth affect our vertical relationship with God. What we do down here affects how we're doing with God up there. And you can see that all through Scripture. You can see it all through Scripture. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus says, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe it, believe you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you are standing praying, don't just, you know, babble on. Believe it. And if you're in the middle of prayer and you suddenly discover, I'm holding this against this person, that is a great time to deal with it because you should forgive the person so your Father in heaven can forgive you in the middle of a time of prayer. It says in 1 John, you cannot love God and hate your brother at the same time. Doesn't work. You just... Matthew 5:23, if you're going to the altar to offer your gift, people confuse this with communion. This is not communion, okay? But if you're going to offer your gift and you get up there and you remember, hey, wait a minute, I'm mad at somebody. I have something against this person. Just leave your gift aside at the altar and go and reconcile that relationship, Jesus says. Make it right and give your gift at the altar. See, our horizontal relationships again and again and again affect our vertical relationship with God. It affects it. If I put myself in God's position, I maybe can understand this a little bit. You know, I have three kids. I can remember them riding in the back of our Astro van, committing sins against one another. You looked at me. You breathed. You know, you made... Your children didn't do that, did you? And don't make me pull this vehicle over. You never said that, did you? And then in the middle of a fight, you hear them say something like, Daddy, how about ice cream? Can we have ice cream? And you say, forget it. You're not having ice cream. Not as long as you treat each other that way. And I wonder if our Heavenly Father maybe looks at how we treat each other and says, just a minute, you know? Maybe. I don't know. It's just a thought. I have known people who seemed like Joe Spiritual at church taught Sunday school, always could share a scripture out of memorization, always could say praise the Lord and hallelujah, and you watch them at home, they're a total jerk to the people in their family. Just miserable. And a first class arrogant jerk, and you think, this has got to be affected by this. Check out 1 Peter. Here's how this works in marriage. 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Treat them with respect as the weaker partner and heirs with you. I'd probably argue they're the stronger partner, because sometimes they have the sense to say, do it your way, and that takes a lot of strength to do that, because I'm usually wrong, right, dear? Someone said the other day, my husband and I, we made, one of you actually, I don't remember who, we made a commitment. We decided when we got married, I would decide the little things and he could decide the big things. We've been married 50 years and thankfully there have been no big things, you know. In the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Treat them with respect. Treat them as, even though he says weaker partner, they are heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. And why do you do that? So that nothing will hinder your prayers. Isn't it interesting? How I treat my wife affects my prayers. So if you're having trouble with your prayers, you wonder what the problem is, maybe there's a broken relationship. The second thing is, maybe you have the wrong motive when you pray. James chapter 4, verse 3 says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. Can you think lotto when you hear that? God, help me win the lottery. We've had these discussions at our very holy and spiritual men's breakfast, you know. I'll give the tithe to you. And someone said, I'll give you 20%, God. And the next one says, there's 800 million there. I'll give you half, God. You know, if I just... James says, well, maybe it's really for your own pleasures. And the Pharisees did this all the time. They would stand on the street corner and they would go, hey, everybody, watch this. And then they'd pray some beautiful prayer. What did they get? They got the applause of people, wrong motives, you know. God, give me that girl. I remember in high school, God, give me, I want her to be my girlfriend. And if she becomes my girlfriend, Lord, you know I'll lead her to you. And hearing God whisper, you want that girl more than you want to lead her to me, and your motives are wrong. And besides, she's probably not right for you anyway. Proverbs 16:2, it says, all a man's ways seem innocent to him. Seems innocent, but motives are weighed by the Lord. God only knows what our motives are. Third thing is, maybe you don't believe God will do it. God isn't going to do that. So if you don't believe God will do it, why would he? If you look at Mark chapter 9, in verse 22, there's a story of a father who is in a very bad situation because he has a son who is very, very messed up. He's actually demon-possessed. And when your kids are messed up, it is traumatic for you emotionally, wouldn't you? You know. So this dad is really worried, and he sees Jesus. He comes up to Jesus, and he says simply, if you can do anything about this man, if you can do anything, take pity on us. I could hear Jesus say, if, come on, you know, take pity on him. help us. If you can do anything, help us out. If you can. And Jesus says everything is possible for him who believes. If you can do anything. And the guy says, oh God, help me believe. Help me. My faith needs help. And then you read in the next verse, the guy is healed. Many times in Scripture you see that people are healed according to their faith. Miracles happen according to their faith. You know, if I say to that piano, move over there, and I believe it, then it'd be over there, right? I mean, isn't that how people look at those things? I ought to get what I want. If I say to this mountain, be removed, and there's a lot of people who are Christians who don't believe God is going to do anything, and they don't pray at all. They don't pray at all. It's like the pastor and the bar owner. Maybe you've heard the story. I don't know. But a bar started up down the street from the church. It was its legal 1,000 feet away or whatever it had to be from the church. And the pastor was really upset, so they began to have prayer meetings on Wednesday night to pray that God would take care of that bar, you know, that it wouldn't be such a sore on the community that we get rid of this demon liquor. And one night there was a thunderstorm and the bar got hit by lightning, burned to the ground. Maybe you heard about this. And the bar owner took the pastor to court, and he said in court, my bar burned down because you ask and God struck us down. And the pastor said, no. We didn't mean anything by that. We didn't, you know, it really wasn't serious, you know. And they began to argue back and forth, it's your fault because you prayed. And no, not really. Didn't really mean anything at all. And finally, the judge interrupted both of them and just looked at him and said, I can't believe what I'm hearing. Here I have a bar owner who believes in the power of prayer and a pastor who does not. You know, obviously a made up story, I suppose, but we do know Christians who don't really believe in the power of prayer, you know, and they say stuff like, well, it's really bad. All I can do is pray. My last straw. And God's like, well, wait a minute. How about the first thing? There are people that live with this name it, claim it kind of faith. If I just pray enough, I can name this thing and I can claim this thing. God, I know you want to give me $1 million. I'm claiming it in your name. Have you ever heard that? Name it, you know. It is as if God is a cosmic sugar daddy, and if I just have enough faith, I can. Wouldn't that be interesting? I wonder if churches would be full if God would work that way. Probably not. But people get upset, you know. Prayed for grandma. I prayed for her. Thought she'd be healed. You know, she was only 99. God didn't heal her. And I'm like, dude, she's 99. And according to statistics, one out of one will die one day, you know. It's just going to happen. You know, you can do yoga, you can do Pilates, you can eat nothing but organic food, but you're still going to die. And if you do it like that, you're just going to die with a bad taste in your mouth, but you're still going to die. You know, here's what I want to say, and I want to be really, 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 really clear. Because you have faith doesn't mean that God's got to do it. God has a choice in the matter. Someone might say faith doesn't matter. Now, I can't explain all the nuances of all this, but you do need to have faith. It's kind of complicated. James 1, 6 and 7. When a person asks for wisdom, what must he do? He must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. the man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He's like just tossing around. Sometimes, why won't you answer my prayers, oh God? You know, I know you could have. Why didn't you? And maybe the answer is you got messed up relationships. You don't believe your motives aren't right. And maybe the answer is this last one. Maybe God has something different in mind. We don't know the big picture. We do not know the big picture. And I hope that God's will matters to you more than your will matters. I really do. Because God knows more than we do. We think we know best, and it's not us who knows best. In 1 John 5:14, it says, this is the confidence you have in approaching God. You who are a Christian, if we ask anything, everybody say anything. If we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. And we know that if he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have because we have asked of him. If we ask anything, we can confidently enter the throne of grace, and he loves us enough not to give us something that is not according to his will. I don't know how many times I prayed when I was in different relationships in high school or college. God, may this be the one that is my wife, you know. And God said, no, 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 no. I thought I was just a loser. See, but God had something better in mind. You see what I'm saying? If you know, I'm glad God said no. If God did everything we asked him to do, wouldn't the world be a bad place? It'd be a mess, man. It would be a mess. God can say no. It is his right. He loves us enough to say no. Even the Apostle Paul, he says, I had this thorn in my side, and so I prayed. Three times earnestly I went to the Lord. What he's saying is, I begged, I pleaded three times. And God didn't do what I knew he could do, what I thought he should do. And then, Paul says simply, I learned that his grace is sufficient for me. I learned that his grace is very sufficient for me. You know, three times. I've jotted some things down in the back of my bulletin. I wish I could find that copy of it. Thank you, dear. My wife swiped my bulletin. Guilty. No, she's not. And anyway, I want to share them with you, and I think I can oh, you actually have the answers in front of you. I think I can remember them now, especially that I have the answers in front of me. And when we pray, if you can't figure it out, what I want you to know is sometimes God has to let the sun go down for his glory to shine through. I might not like that. I might not like that. 10 years ago, I baptized my stepfather, a man that I knew my entire life, a man who used to bounce me on his knee when I was a little two-year-old, a man who I loved, and he turned to Christ. Now, years before that, my own dad had fell out of a tree and died, and I think If God would say to me now, would you reverse what happened? I think I might say, maybe I wouldn't. As horrible as it is. Because you know what? Hank got to meet Jesus because of what happened. And I could think of other people who got to meet Jesus because of what happened. And I will be with God in heaven forever, and forever is a lot more than a few years. You know what I'm saying? That might sound weird, but really, you know, 1 Corinthians says, our light and our momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Sometimes, I would say too, as I think about prayer, we get to see the miracle. That's awesome. Sometimes we get to be the miracle. We get to be the miracle, you know? Somebody says, pray for me. I don't have a car that runs. I don't have money to get a car. Pray for me. And I'm praying and I'm reminded that I just got a different car last week and the old car is sitting in my driveway. And I'm saying, Holy Spirit, are you trying to tell me something? And sometimes maybe we get to be the answer. We get to be the miracle, you know. The last thing I want you to know of my three little jot-down thoughts are, great faith does not mean that my prayers work every time. It means that God is working even when my prayers don't seem to be working at all. God is still working. Isn't that good news? You know, I tell you what, when I pray, I believe He can, and I believe He will, and it reminds me that I'm not in control, but He loves me, and it keeps me close to Him. And again, believe He can, I believe He will, but I also believe, even if He doesn't, I will still believe. He can, He will, and even if He doesn't, I will still believe, because He knows better than I do. Why don't we pray? God, there's so many perplexing things that happen, and we just can't figure it out. But we know we can be close to You. We know we can be connected to You. We know You love us. God, we think You should, and sometimes You're looking at something way bigger than us. You're looking at something way bigger than us. I just ask, God, that You would help us to believe that believe in You, believe that You will answer our prayers, and believe that You are working even when You don't answer them the way we think. Father, in a moment we'll share communion in a bit. Just ask that You would guide us as we do that. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.